afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for Monday, April 16, 2018. We'll begin our meeting today with an invocation led by Commissioner Senegal, followed by the pledge of allegiance led by Commissioner Hall.
Please bow your head. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for this opportunity to stand before the citizens of Jefferson County as a representative. I ask you to continue to bless this court, bless all staff, employees, and elected officials of Jefferson County. I ask that you bless the people that's protecting our democracy here and abroad. I pray for the citizens of Syria, those little kids that are suffering through man's greed. I ask for your divine intervention in all these matters, and ask that you'll continue blessing for all of us. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge and use.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll begin our agenda today a little bit out of order. Under County Commissioners, we'll begin with item C and F. Item C is consider and possibly approve a proclamation for Global Youth Service Day. Item F is consider and possibly approve a proclamation for National Crime Victims Rights Week. Do I have a motion on those two items?
So moved.
Second, Commissioner Senegal, second by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. And is there a representative for Global Youth Service Day? Would please come forward. All right, if you'll allow me to read this, and then I'll. It says, whereas Global Youth Service Day is an annual campaign that celebrates and mobilizes millions of children and youth in the interest of improving their communities each day of the year through service and service learning, while increasing civic engagement, academic motivation and achievement, and workforce readiness. And whereas Global Youth Service Day is one of the largest service events in the world, the only day of service dedicated solely to engaging youth ages 5 through 25. And whereas high-quality service programs like IEA inspire, encourage, and achieve, and the community partners they engage provide opportunities for youth to be active citizens and community leaders, and for schools, community organizations, government agencies, businesses, and family to engage youth as problem solvers and change agents. And whereas the Edward M. Kennedy Serve America Act recognizes Global Youth Service Day as a national day of service and calls on the citizens of the United States to participate. And whereas Youth Service America, IEA, Inspire, Encourage, and Achieve, and the Jefferson County Juvenile Probation Department are mobilizing citizens to serve their communities on Global Youth Service Day. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Commissioners Court of Jefferson County is hereby proclaimed April 20th through 22nd, 2018, will be Global Youth Service Days in Jefferson County, Texas, and we encourage all citizens to serve their community.
Good afternoon, and thank you again for your support and really helping us to promote this whole idea of our young people becoming problem solvers and change agents in the community. Today, I have with me one of those problem solvers that has helped us tackle the issue of violence this year for our Global Youth Service Initiative, where young people are becoming more empathetic to the needs of victims and being able to meet those needs through service. So we've participated in a number of service learning experiences with the Jefferson County Victims Assistance, Rape and Suicide Crisis Center, MAD, and many other organizations who really respond to the needs of victims. And through this process, our young people are becoming more empathetic. Just last week, they were here at the Candlelight Vigil and had the opportunity to hear up close and personal about the stories of victims and its impact. And so these young people have now taken that information and mobilized through to service in response to it. Today, we have our team from Jefferson County Juvenile Probation, and of course, our founder, Regina Rogers, and board member, and also Linda Domino, an IA board member, is with us today, representing our board and all the work that we do to try to promote the lives of youth. We also have Amy Bell, who is one of our team members and case managers and licensed professional counselors. And last but not least, we have Isaac, who is a representation of the many young people whose lives we work to change every day here in Jefferson County. So I can give him just a moment.
You bet.
Thomas?
My name is Isaac Silas, and I was very thankful for this. I was very thankful for this program because at first I thought I was lost in my life, but this program started showing me the better things in life and how to cope with others. Thank you.
Good afternoon, and I would like to add my thanks to those of Angelica's and let you all know, as commissioners of Jefferson County commissioners, that we deeply appreciate your support. I've served on this board for over 20 years, and your support makes a big difference to us and to kids that we try to serve. So we deeply appreciate it, and thank you so much for this proclamation.
Well, I think I can speak for the whole court in saying that we thank you. There's no more important job than working with our youth, and particularly in the time when we see such degradation in the family unit, it becomes even more important that there be guiding lights for these individuals to help show them the opportunity that lay before them and the talents that each individual is uniquely gifted with and can use.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. It has been our pleasure to partner with IEA for Global Youth Service Day. It is extremely important to us to teach our young people to grow up to be positive pro-social adults and teach them the importance of giving back to the community. So Global Youth Service Day month is extremely important to us, and we appreciate your support. Thank you for the proclamation.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We're proud to be here, but we're especially proud of Isaac. Isaac, I'm about 50 years older than you, maybe 60. And I still get nervous when I come and speak before our judge and the commissioners, and you just did a wonderful job, and I have to tell you how proud we are again of talking about IEA and our efforts. As you know, this program was started to provide compassion, understanding, and love for youth in the detention center and in the outreach efforts. And that was the goal, not punitive, not any kind of penalties or criticism or our goal is to make them feel important and to have self-worth and self-value, and I think that we've accomplished that with you, and we're so proud of you for being here today. And Judge Brannick, we appreciate you and the commissioners and the efforts that you made at the detention center. There are some improvements being made, and they look very nice. And those of you who've been out there, we're very grateful. And Mrs. Brannick was there on Saturday speaking to the youth, and they were very, very touched by her personal stories and the connection that she made with them. And that's what it's all about. It's about relationships. It's not about money. It's not about anything other than letting them know how much we care. And that's changing lives. Thank you again. Oh, Judge Thorne. Oh, just the man we've been looking for, Judge Thorne. Oh, dear. Oh, no. Do we have to subpoena him?
If I go up there, I'm not talking about you.
No, we're not going to do that then. We appreciate our judges for being so understanding and trying to find alternative ways of working with the kids, because we have to step outside the box, as you know. Things are so different from the way they used to be. We can't do what was done 50 years ago when the detention center was first, I guess it was 1960. So that's a long time ago, and things are different now. So thank you for exploring new ways and being receptive to new ways of coping with the kids and helping them. Thank you again. Thank you, Judge Thorne. I've never known you not to want to speak.
Okay. I just want to say that this young lady and IEA is, and I've said it before, is the wind beneath the wings of the youth in Jefferson County. They lift them up, they make them feel like they're just like everybody else. And I love her, and I love IEA, and and all of these wonderful people.
So, Judge, you know, you said some great things there in reference to that, and I've got the chance to go to a couple other places. At some point in time, you know, I don't want to diminish what the Rogers family have done in our community, by no means. But at some point in time, the community, us up here, we have to see the importance of and make sure that we do our fair share, because it's very important for our community to grow with our youth and continue the process of putting them in the right direction too. So I want to make sure I made that statement, because it's something that's been on my heart for a little while.
Commissioner, I appreciate that very, very much. All of you have been wonderful, and I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations, Ivan. Misty, if you'd like to come up, and anybody you'd like to bring with you, Commissioner Weaver is going to read the proclamation for National Crime Victims' Rights Week.
Missy, before I start, just thank you for all the work that you and your office does for victims throughout this county. We appreciate your effort. It is my honor to read this proclamation, National Crime Victims' Rights Week, April 8th through 14th, 2018. Whereas Americans are the victims of more than 20 million crimes each year, and crime can touch the lives of anyone, regardless of age, national origin, race, creed, religion, gender, sexual orientation, immigration, or economic status. And whereas many victims face challenges in finding appropriate services, and too many communities feel disconnected from the justice and social response systems. And whereas the victim services community has worked for decades to create an environment for the victims that is safe, supportive, and effective. And whereas honoring the rights of victims, including the right to be heard and to be treated with the fairness, dignity, and respect, and working to meet their needs, rebuilds their trust in the criminal justice system and social services. And whereas serving victims and rebuilding their trust restores hope to victims and survivors, as well as their communities. And whereas National Crime Victims' Rights Week, April 8th through the 14th, is an opportune time to commit to ensuring that all victims of crime, even those who are challenging to reach or serve, are offered culturally and linguistically accessibility and appropriate services in the aftermath of crime, while expanding individual circles or trust and influence. And whereas Jefferson County Victims Assistance Center is hereby dedicated to expanding the circle by serving victims, building trust, and restoring hope for justice and healing. Now therefore be it resolved, Commissioners Court of Jefferson County, Texas does hereby proclaim the week of April 8th through the 14th, 2018 as National Crime Victims Rights Week, and reaffirm that Jefferson County, Texas is committed to creating a victim service and criminal justice response that assists all victims of crime during Crime Victims Rights Week and throughout the year. Signed this day, Judge Jeff Braddock and all commissioners.
Thank you very much. And you can see on those dates, we normally come and do our proclamation during the week of the Monday of Crime Victims Rights Week. We had some scheduling issues this year, so we're a Monday behind. They mentioned, IEA mentioned that they were able to come last week to the Candlelight Vigil, a large group of young people who came not only and helped out like with sign-in and handing out candles and greeting and things like that, but also were able to stay on Thursday night for the Candlelight Vigil and hear a very powerful story of a mother of a homicide survivor. And I just felt like it was great for them to be able to hear. I felt like that was an opportunity for them, an opportunity for everybody in our community to be able to get together and not just put a face to some of these names that you hear about on the news, but also to be able to fellowship, to let some of these other agencies meet some of these crime victims and maybe get some services that they didn't even know were available. So, as always, we appreciate the support of Jefferson County, not just in Victims Assistance Center and assisting us with, you know, keeping our doors open, but also, you know, things like the candlelight vigil, setting up, you know, security and things like that for us to be able to use the jury and panel and auditorium and all of that stuff. They're always very supportive of all our efforts, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I forgot something so important, and I apologize, but our president, IEA board president, Dr. Kevin J. Roy, is out of town today, and he asked me to please convey his regrets and appreciation. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, moving on to item, the first thing out of A is receive file bids for current contract for inmate clothing supplies for Jefferson County. Item B is to rescind an award of heavy equipment to Jefferson County Precinct 3. Bid item number 11 on the pneumatic power forklift to Associated Supply Inc. in the amount of $25,586. Item C is to re-award the heavy equipment of Jefferson County Precinct number 3 to replace unrepairable equipment damaged by Hurricane Harvey. For bid item number 11, Yale Veracitor pneumatic tire forklift to Briggs Equipment in the amount of $31,995. And the reason for the rescission is just the one that was bid was not a diesel engine. Item D is considered approved and execute change order number 6 for Chief Faith 5, Chief's Community Sewer Improvements for Granger Pump and Ford Main Installation with BDS Constructors LLC, DBA MK Constructors for an increase of 13 working days due to inclement weather conditions, bringing the total number of working days for the project from 154 to 167. And that project is funded by a Texas Community Development Block Grant from the Texas Department of Agriculture. Item E is consider and approve, execute, receive, file a professional service agreement with Terracon for pavement engineering services and redesign of the major drive extension in the amount of $34,000. Do I have a motion on those items under purchasing?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Hall.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion?
Yes, Judge, I was going to ask Mr. Rayo on item E, what exactly does that entail?
This is an analysis by Terracon of the existing pavement structure versus what they feel would be a better design, a needed design, to help hold that roadway.
So this is both a combination of what work they've already done and what they're proposing? Or?
Let me explain. as you know, we haven't taken in the extension. Extension road there because we've had some problems. So when we got to the point where we had the unstable road that was coming up, Steve went out and saw the company to go out and bore to see what we had down below. Once they did that, they came back with their findings that we had in the court. We met after meeting with the contractor, getting what they felt would be important on paper to us. While in my office, I requested Steve talk to Terracon so we can get another set of eyes on the project to make sure that we don't have a fox go in the hen house, because we spend the taxpayers' money. And I want to make sure that at least we got another set of eyes to give us a definitive this will work potentially or not.
Now, are we going to be able to keep those heavy trucks off of it, Commissioner, when we get this all done?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
Are we going to be able to keep those heavy trucks from the dump off of it?
I'm going to be very honest with you, Judge. I went and checked. That's the same truck's been driving when it was driving down Front Road. Same trucks. Same thing. I checked.
So this $34,000 is for them to come up with a plan of a redesign that will hold what the amount of traffic that we were talking about.
I think there's a couple of things. We don't know the amount of traffic that's on that road right now. So it's a combination of things that they will check.
I know it's a mess.
Exactly. So there's a combination of things they would check and also give us a definitive, will this work or will it not?
All right. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Under County Auditor, item A is consider possible approve a resolution to the Jefferson County Crime Lab submission of a grant application for the Paul Coverdell Forensic Science Improvement Grant Program. It's a competitive, fully funded grant request with an award ceiling of $250,000, requires no cash match from the county. Item B is consider approve electronic disbursements for $621.90 to the Texas Department of Criminal Justice for February insurance reimbursement. And item C is regular county bills, check number 445191 to 445435. Do I have a motion on those items?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Senegal, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under county commissioners, item A is considered publicly authorized county judge to execute, receive, and file an interlocal agreement between Jefferson County and the City of Grove for street repairs pursuant to section 791.014 of the Texas Government Code. Item B is considering possibly approving authorized county judge to execute, receive, and file a permanent pipeline easement agreement between Jefferson County, Texas and Coastal Caverns, Inc. Item C has already been covered. Item B is considered possibly authorized county judge to execute, receive, and file an interlocal agreement between Jefferson County and the City of Needland for street repairs pursuant to section 791.014 of the Texas Government Code. Item E is considering possibly approve and authorize county judge to execute approval for tax exempt financing for the UN Center, Inc. pursuant to Internal Revenue Code of 1986, section 147F. Item F has previously been covered. Item G is considering possibly approve a resolution supporting regulation of game rooms. Item H is considering possibly approve the appointment of criminal associate judge to replace what really should be approval of the criminal associate judge to replace Judge Leonard Giblin pursuant to Texas Government Code Chapter 54A, Section 54A.002A, and provide for the funding of such positions the same rates as were paid to Judge Giblin. And item I is considered properly approved and authorized county judge to execute, receive, and file a Texas Community Development Block Grant Contract Amendment Modification Request A1101 for contract number 7216231 regarding first-time sewer tow. Do I have a motion on those items under county commissioners?
Move.
Moved by Commissioner Weaver.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. And that completes our regular agenda. Commissioners, anything you'd like to bring to the attention of the public without our taking action? If not, then we are adjourned. Thank you for being here today.
Yes, I work. Sorry.
And we are announcing a workshop to discuss our 404 hazard mitigation grant program immediately following Commissioner's Court. All right, we'll call this workshop of the Jefferson County Commissioner's Court to order on April 16th, 2018 at 2:04 p.m. The workshop is to discuss the Section 404 Hazard Mitigation Grant Program and consider projects to be submitted to the state of Texas for consideration under a notice of intent. Who's going to begin, Mr. Schwartz?
I'll start, and we'll just have a general discussion. Just following up to our last workshop, we do have representatives from Griffith, Mosley, Johnson. We have John Johnson and Mark DuBose here. What we really want to try to start narrowing down is the projects that we want to submit for a notice of intent to get that started. It'll get it into the state's hands to start streaming it. There was some other questions that came up from last time, after last time, about some of the smaller cities and maybe some of the ESDs and whether they were going to have some projects. And, you know, I still go back to this program, this competitive program, does require a 25% match. We've talked a little bit about some projects specifically for the county, identifying the structures to harden them, possibly the airport to prepare for the air evacuations that we have, and to help that process with probably some showering facilities. And the other would be when the water went down with the city of Beaumont, we had some talk about maybe some wells at some of the sheltering locations, specifically Ford Park, and just get some water there, because that seems to be a heavily used area for state assets being staged there with lots of people. We talked about showering facilities.
Certainly, I'm hopeful that the city of Beaumont's going to be applying the 404 monies to elevate their wells and pumps and their control system. I'm hopeful that that's going to happen.
But other than that, from the last time, we really, you know, we did talk a little bit about structure elevation for the homes, but I think we've heard that there are some high costs with that. There's some average cost figures to raise a home, specifically when it would be on the side, the cost per square foot.
Yeah, but, you know, to the extent that you prevent future losses, you know, the elevations would certainly be a worthwhile endeavor to undertake. The question that I don't understand, Mr. Johnson, if you could maybe give us some information in the next week, it's my understanding that on the elevations of the homes, that there's some cost-benefit analysis calculation that has to be done. And I don't understand, if we sit here today, what that calculation is, and whether it relates to fair market value before and after, or what. So if we could get some information or guidance on that, I sure appreciate that. Because I have received several calls. Some of the people I've directed to you that were interested in elevations and or potentially buyouts, and you know, my direction thus far has been that we're going to hold buyouts at the last resort and try to keep our people where they are. And if we can elevate them and get them out of the floodplain, then I would certainly prefer that as opposed to letting land go fallow and then have to be responsible for the maintenance of that land.
Or the loss of population.
Well, I'm in agreement, Mr. Swain, as to the changes at the airport and Ford Park and the wells and elevating the structures. And I don't know if it's all under 404, that's separate and distinct from the 406 program. And, you know, I'm going to have to leave it to the commissioners as to which, whether or not they have any floodways or ditches or anything that could be made more resilient or better able to accommodate floods. And I know so much of our flood work is handled by our drainage districts, and I fully expect that they'll be making large requests under the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program. But to the extent that those floodways or culverts impact the commissioner's roads, you know, they're going to have to get a list of those projects for you. And I think they have, but. I recall that after Ike, we elevated some of our radio interoperability structures. And I don't know whether the sheriff's office has been consulted to determine whether or not any of their facilities are in need of hardening or greater resilience.
I think she said she wanted to harden the gym.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've talked about the just, we've talked about the EOS, or this building too. You know, going back on the hardening of the radio, we did elevate one of the tower structures, the building, and we did that under the 406 mitigation, because it was a damaged facility. Depending on, you know, Linnell is looking at some of the information you provided, Commissioner Weaver, on the, and we're going to give a thing on that for those project worksheets dealing with the culverts.
Okay.
And some of those, if they're damaged, if there's going to be a project worksheet, that would be your 406 mitigation on that. The other thing that happened after Ike, and probably why we didn't use a lot, we didn't go for it for 404 after Ike, was because of the CDBG funding that came through. And as you know, when that comes through, it doesn't have a match.
Right.
And that's what restricts a lot of entities to doing these large projects. Is that 25% match. So I don't know if there's any updated status on any potential CDBG funding that would come through for the public side and the non-housing portion of that, just like I do.
We have to be very prudent and realistic. That 25% match will tax our budget tremendously. So we have to make sure we live within those confinements of what we really need. We know those things, and I think that's the thing we really need to put on the market, on the plate, because anything else, that 25% match runs that tally up.
Yeah. And the sub-court half roof?
Yeah, we can pull the information we have from that last time we did it, and probably we can, because we actually submitted that under 404.
Was that for replacement?
It was for the hardening of the roof, the structure.
Engineered roof is what you're talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what it's at, when, you know, as far as wind velocity. I don't think we've lost that roof in the end of the storm.
No, but what's happening is that the design of the roof, which was, what, 500 years ago, when it rains real heavy, it holds the water. It just needs some way to get that water off of that roof.
Yeah.
Yeah, so redesign and some smaller things that can be done. Cutting the old weep holes where it can get off of that roof a lot quicker. Big weep holes, whatever. So, I mean, that's engineering.
Right. And it's an historical structure, too. So.
Yeah.
So, Patrick, going back to what you were talking about earlier about the cross pipes and culverts and building head walls, if I understood what you said, was 404 is something that you didn't receive damage, but you just want to upgrade it, right? And then 406 is stuff that you got damage and you want to repair it, and you even want to build it bigger and better. Is that correct?
Yes. 404 and 406, those could, a 406 item could qualify for 404, but your 404 is a little more trying to eliminate in the future, not something that was damaged, or a potential damage.
So, you know, just talking in real quick, and I think it relates to some of the other precincts, because I'm sure they have some similar damage. These cross pipes across these county roads, whether it be a single row, a double row, or even a triple row, but we'll focus mainly on the single row. We, just on earthen sides, you have a lot of washout that occurs. Well, for example, some of the projects that we submitted just this morning kind of outlines what the damage was. Some of it we made emergency repairs to because it warranted it, and some of the repairs we didn't make yet. For example, one of the pipes is a 36-inch pipe on Gorner Road. We want to upgrade it to a 48 and build a head wall. And so what you're saying, the 406 would be better fit for that, right?
Yes, if it's part of the damaged structure.
Is that a project that we can do combined with DD6? Is it running into any of those ditches?
No, it's just one of them cross pipes that crosses our road. You know, one of the things that we looked at is we're going to try to use plastic pipe instead of concrete. And I noticed DD6 is using a lot of the big plastic pipe now.
You got to look at the cost on what you got to do to make that stay down there, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've got, you know, we looked at how, you know, how much stabilized sand we use and what if it would work in that area. But what you're saying, the 406 is a separate path.
Yeah, if you have a damaged structure, that culvert is damaged because of, or washed out because of, flood. So you'll get a project worksheet to put it back to normal, or whatever that's before. Then the 406 mitigation would be 25% at 75% feds for the increased cost of that. Now, there will be some studies. There'll have to be some engineering done to talk about the extra water flow, which we're trying to eliminate or make better because of making it stronger.
The emergency repairs that were done during the storm or immediately thereafter, you know, those were all tracked through auditing with a PO number for the materials that we used for those emergency repairs. So that's separate and aside from what would be submitted for the 406. Is that correct? Because that'll be reimbursed through a separate way. Is that my understanding?
It depends on how the project worksheet's written. If it's true emergency repairs to get the road back open, that would qualify usually as a Category B. Emergency measures, and it's at it's up to 100% reimbursement for 30 days after the storm. Yeah. And then anything that's permanent work is probably going to be Category C for roads.
Well, most of these washouts that occur on these county roads, especially between a double row culvert, you know, you usually get a little hole that starts washing out right in the middle, and we put some hot mix in there just as a temporary patch, and I think that's what Mike has done.
We have to go out and look to see when those expenditures were, but there is a different matching percentage on Category B.
Mike had attached the PO that was used for those emergency repairs with those photographs and the worksheet. So.
I can't remember. There's only one exception where they allow federal funds to used as a match for federal funds. So I don't think we can't use our CDBG funding as a match for the 404.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Patrick, match is all in monetary, right? It's not no in-kind?
In-kind. It can be in-kind.
So do we have any projects like that we might already have in-kind match for?
Well, if you pull those culverts out and did them yourself, we could look at the actual equipment and then labor to do that.
So that's
if that qualifies as part of the match.
On the 404, not the 406.
Possibly the 406. We'll verify that. Usually matches in kind and cash.
Well, you know, when you back out the equipment costs and the personnel costs, the materials are not that much.
That's right. So it might not be that much to actually.
They really aren't.
Yeah. To fix those. But if you contracted it out, that's hard cash.
You got to work it right.
Why do they ask that we include, I guess because we're going to get reimbursed for personnel and equipment based on these costs with each piece of equipment and each person working on that site, right?
Right. They give you 75% of your equipment cost and your labor cost.
Okay.
Got to use the estimates.
I never give it back to you. I was keeping it too right. Other than I think the issues that we talked about for the airport and possibly this facility hardening and Ford Park.
What kind of hardening at this facility?
Somehow you know, we tried to waterproof it, and it just doesn't stand up to 35 hours of straight rain. I don't know that anything does. We still leak a little bit, and I think that would be the issue. I think we do have a generator. You know, we've talked about generators at other locations. That's one of the qualifying items. That's a little lower down on the list, but you can get, you know, if we were going to do a generator in Ford Park or anywhere like that, you know, we've had been fortunate that you know, we've been able to get generators out there because of
the state's importance.
Yeah, importance of it to the state.
At the airport, how many showers are we talking about? Do we have showers out there? Do we?
I don't have the schematic in front of me. I don't know if anybody else in the audience has anything.
Get it to us.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, in the aftermath of the party, trying to get shower trailer to become available was darn near impossible. They were warning much per week with a several week minimum at which you could buy a trailer, a shower trailer for. I mean, $48,000 a week. Just holding the hostage. Of course, we weren't going to pay that for to take a shower. We had a lot of bottled water. But.
Well, we have.
We just got to be planned up before we do it. Don't go out there and get something. We don't have the schematics on what type of connections and stuff we need to have.
We have free showers at the airport that were just, we had, you know, hundreds of first responders that would have to share, and the hot water supply was gone. So.
Yeah, and then
three showers and put that many people out there.
Oh, that was so
bad. You had to get in line real quick.
I want to know how much. Now, fortunately, on the notice of intent, we can be ballpark on our figures and everything. I expect, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Alex, do you or Mr. Rayo have any suggestions for any project, any county infrastructure that's in need of hardening or be made more resilient? Is that what we've talked about?
Roofs, waterproofing, showers, I mean, it pretty much runs the gamut there.
Where did you have water print penetration at the airport, if anywhere?
Mainly in the general aviation terminal.
The Jerry Ware?
Yes, sir. It was just saturated everywhere.
Well, then you have real problems with.
We think it's
really changing that facility very much, because all of the heart of the electric supply is located in that one part, and you can't really move that around.
And some of that electrical is original, and they don't make replacement parts. So we have to do some. Our electrician has to get pretty ingenuitive to make repairs. That was one room that had about 2 inches of water in it during the rains. We actually locked it off so no one could go in there and get hurt.
Has there been any discussion on the airport improvement project grant process of consolidating that electrical supply in a separate area? That's for all the airfield lights.
The discussions with the FAA only carves out the airfield lighting system part, which is mainly, that's the newer components, I'd say newer 12 years ago, addressing the building's actual electrical system. That's not a eligible item under the FAA grant system.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a, we actually submitted some plans to the FAA to build a standalone electrical vault to run the airfield with the generator. Costs were considerably higher than anticipated, about a million over. So we had to put that project further down on our list. It really didn't address any of our current airfield electrical problems. But we do have a design and plan for a standalone hardened vault, similar to what Galveston put in right after Ike, I believe.
Reno.
One of the two, I don't remember. They put a It's a pre-constructed, pre-built vault, basically in a shipping container, and they come, stand it up, run all your home runs to it, put your generator, and go.
What was the total cost, do you recall, for that project?
I think we had estimated, the engineers estimated like $1.2 million, and I think the bids came back well over $2 million. And that far exceeded our planned budget with FAA.
Well, that may be a CDBG eligible project, I don't know. I think the regional planning commission is still going to be involved in the method of distribution for the community development block grant to the local government.
But now, how the projects are coming along? But now?
What?
How's the projects coming along?
They're coming along. They're going slow, but they're coming along.
They're requiring quite a bit.
On the project worksheet?
Yeah.
We have two.
Two approved?
Yeah. The expedited. Which is, so they ain't going somewhere.
They're not.
What was that, debris?
Debris and emergency measures.
What?
Yeah, we're still stuck in the portal mode. We have FEMA and the state coming next week to sit and crunch keys, keyboard keys, to push some of this work through.
You know, that's the thing that kind of get under the skin of the average guy in our county, where they don't understand we are going through it just like them, even tougher than them, from the standpoint of the bureaucracy that we get through.
Yeah, we're not impressed with the new delivery system.
So emergency measures would be those type of activities that occurred during the storm, repair making, emergency repairs, those kind of things. You're saying those worksheets are the ones that are projects that are potentially going to be approved through this process?
Well, what they've written so far is two project worksheets on an expedited basis. And that expedited basis allowed us to get 50% of the estimated cost. One was the debris, so that allowed us to help pay for the debris cost on an ongoing basis. You know, as we pay more and get it reconciled and convert to a real project worksheet for debris, and get the additional money.
Have we been billed and paid for all the debris removal yet?
Most of them. I think, yeah. We'll pick up some more tickets. We'll pick up some more landfill tickets in the future. The emergency measures, they've all been done. Not all paid as far as, or not been reimbursed. But the biggest cost was the personnel. Close to $2 million we had overtime cost because of the storm. And so we received 50% of that. And then there's going to be other things you add to that. Cost of meals, supplies, all the things we bought.
And they hadn't even given a look at the roads yet, right?
You're actually what's happening on your roads. Your roads have been scheduled for inspection. Yeah. You get to see the guy that comes and puts the measuring tape. And but that information has not been turned to, it's kind of in a damage description mode, and it needs to turn into project worksheet mode.
So they're going to come back here and do more measuring and look.
They should. They want to do on some.
What they're going to do is they're going to do the stuff that we are preparing right now of those areas that in your precinct that you say is damaged. When they get that information, they will go out, they will look at that, we're marking them all, look at it, and make sure they see the same thing. That's what scared me about this, because they can go out there, you can get somebody out there and they say, I don't see that. And we did all this work and everything else, we still got to spend X, Y, and Z to get it repaired.
Yeah, the roads is from the beginning is going to be the hardest thing, because what they say is, that's what it was like that before the storm.
That's what they say.
So show me, pictures before the storm. Show me your maintenance records. You haven't been doing proper maintenance. You get people that aren't familiar with roads looking hit your road because there's somebody that just, sorry, just probably got a job with FEMA sometimes, a volunteer to help out. It might not even be that expertise that might.
So like some of those appraisals.
It can be frustrating, and Linnell can tell you more war stories on that. Now your superintendents can on who's ridden their roads with them. But I think we've done a good job of trying to provide the information of what it's going to cost to fix. Y'all are preparing that. And also that we do have the maintenance records. You know, those are things. Everything that's going to need to be repaired, they're going to want to see maintenance records.
Gotcha. That's important.
That's their first deal. That's part of that portal is, okay, you're saying it needs to be repaired. Give me the last 3 years of records.
You got to have. Sheriff, you know, I made a joke and I said that you wanted to harden up the jail. Do you have any projects that you have? Have they talked to you about anything?
Are you talking in terms of
hazard mitigation grant projects?
Yes.
Things that will make facilities owned by the county more resilient and less susceptible to damage in future?
No one has talked to us. We talked to Johnson Control, about some of the issues that have been highlighted or spotlighted, in jail. But certainly we have some issues.
I think that St. Patrick, when you have a meeting, I think because when you get down to our jail situations, the biggest money spent, you know, you start talking about our budget. You start talking about law enforcement, judicial, all that, save 6% of our budget going in. You need to have the sheriff or our maintenance people in, John Johnson and you, Greg. Because that's very important, I believe. Even though we can't spend any money, I said already, we don't have the money to go too far out there, but we need to know.
Well, I think we already all know that there's some problems. And so it's just, I think we have to measure the problems. It's an old building, it's been there for a long time, and I think we've been doing preventive maintenance in terms of whatever resources we've had, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done out there.
Well, and fortunately, Ken's back there with Johnson Control, they just concluded a survey of the building and noted some deficiencies out there. And you might want to get a copy of that report, Mr. Johnson, and see whether or not it falls within any of the deficiencies fall within the parameters of those eligibility for the hazard mitigation grant program.
Right, Judge, and I saw the report the other day, and you're right. There's some major concerns, and John, I think that'd be a good report for you to look at.
Anything further, Mr. Swain? Anyone who has anything to offer? Mr. Knight, where did that flooding come from in Harvey?
Wind driven rain.
Through the upper windows?
And through the walls.
Through the walls still?
Yeah.
Just like at night?
Yeah. We need to harden it.
I had a waterproof gun come out. It was a surprise. Gonna have to do it.
Yeah, we need to look at that too.
Yeah, I think it was 160. 180,000. Yeah, 180,000. I mean, we have to get the specs and bid it out and all that good stuff.
I thought that the project we did on the exterior and sealing everything after, I mean, in Hurricane Ike, I stood down on the second floor, you and I did, in Judge Storm's court, man.
Right.
And there was water coming through the wall like a shower.
Very good.
But I thought what we've done subsequent to Ike took care of that problem.
They did not seal it.
They didn't seal it.
Actually, Ike, you lost a chunk of your roof.
Yeah, I know we lost the roof, but I stood there and saw on the port opposite side of the building, water coming through like a shower through the brick.
Right there. Right there. You came through this wall.
Right there.
And all that work was done here on the restoration. Come through there after. Whatever technique they use didn't work.
Now, if you seal the brick, that's something that's got to be done every 8 or 10 years, isn't it?
Probably so, but look at everywhere it came in at. I mean, historical has their own sealant.
Yeah.
Historical building. So we're going to have to go by the guidelines. But it'll go through that wall.
Well, we need to write that up on a project warranty.
Yeah, we've talked to them. Any of the inspectors that came through, we've asked them, give us your suggestions on mitigation for this so we don't have to anticipate it. We've had that conversation with all of them, so we can at least show them what David's got. And as far as the bid, and see if they'll incorporate it into this project worksheet for this building. Because we won't have any insurance proceeds here.
With the amount of money we've spent already on this building and seeing what the after effects are, we have to at least bring it to the table and see what it costs us. But we've spent, y'all know, quite a bit.
Anything else, Mr. Johnson? Anything else you want to hear from us?
Judge, only if there are projects that you've reached consensus on, and if we could start working on those notices of intent.
Yeah, I think what we talked about today, and if we can do rather loose NOIs, and if they're approved, we can in their original submission as a notice of intent. Once we get the full application, we'll have a better idea of the cost, and then the commissioner's court will come back together to see what our 25% match is, and cherry pick the projects that they want.
Also, perhaps my stockpile yard is warranted.
Yeah, that was one we were going to actually put under the 406. 406, yeah, because he had a damaged facility. He flooded. We're going to buy a bunch of easy ups and just put them out there. Okay. We're actually looking at that for the 406.
Good. All right. Well, thank everyone for your input today. We appreciate GMJ's time. And onward and upward, we are adjourned.